It's Wednesday. Watch that big, that big steel bird over there. So, we were just about to finish an important thing yesterday as we ran out of time on the show today, Birds, and I thought I would just complete that if we could. I was talking about WD-40, which is a product we all know about, Obia. Water displacement is what the WD refers to, and 40 is the number of times that they made this formula until it worked. This chair is just driving me crazy. If you hear it. All right, let's see. The first time they used it was to protect the Atlas missile. So I think we could probably make this desk chair work. They were making this I think it was in 1953 San Diego they started doing it. And the thing is that it worked so good that the employees started taking some of this home, some of the cans. And so the CEO said, well, gee whiz, maybe we could, make a thing out of this. I'm going to open the can. It's, WD-40. It's got the little kind of like a bird straw. Swizzle stick. I'm going to try to do them. The thing I thought was interesting, they didn't patent WD-40 because if they had done that, they would have had to reveal the formula, and then the patent runs out. So anyway, they never patented it, and nobody ever duplicated it all these years. So let's see what. So anyway, we have my headphones in. No. It's okay. I'm fine. Well, this is slippery.
We'll be right back.
And I think the water level is rising. Debbie Harry has a birthday today from Blondie, born in 1945, a scant 8 years before the development of WD-40 on the moment that we figure out what is going to happen here in 2020. Hi, everybody. The 1st of July. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show. Thanks for joining us. We're coming to you from Chicago now. It's 8 minutes after the hour. So some stuff going on today, and I will hope to distract us a little bit. We need that, and that's part of what we're going to do here. Let's do some news here, and then we will do some distraction. All right. We're going to talk about words, making the nomenclature. We're going to talk about some sports, some things maybe we could do some good here. I had dinner out for the first time in 3 months yesterday. That was kind of a thing. And blah, 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 blah. So anyway, we'll get to all that today, and we thank you for joining us here. So leading the news, more than 47,000 coronavirus cases were announced across the U.S. yesterday. It's the most of any day of the pandemic. Officials in Alaska, Arizona, California, Georgia, Idaho, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Texas also announced single-day highs. Yesterday was the fourth time in a week that the U.S. posted a new single-day case record. Number of new cases in the United States shot up by 80% in the past 2 weeks. That's according to a New York Times database. 4,600 new cases announced in Arizona. By far, it's most in a single day. Vice President Mike Pence planned to travel there on Wednesday. Kind of a latter-day Forrest Gump figure in reverse. 7,800 new cases announced in California, and on and on and on. Let's do this. We just got some recent comment from Dr. Fauci about an hour ago. Let's hear what we can hear from Dr. Fauci. Let me get my fingers on the right button, and here he is.
And anyone who's been involved in vaccinology will tell you that we will have a safe and effective vaccine, but we are cautiously optimistic, looking at animal data and the early preliminary data, that we will at least know the extent of efficacy sometime in the winter and early part of next year.
In the United States, daily cases are increasing after an extended decline. We're seeing significant increases in the southeast and southwest regions of this nation. The number of jurisdictions in upward trajectory has continued to increase, now 29 of
65. This is Dr. Redfield of the CDC. We'll just give him a second here.
The evidence tells us that these cases are driven by many factors, to include increased testing, community transmission, and outbreaks in the settings such as nursing homes and occupational settings. Hospitalizations now are going up in 12 states, and as of this weekend, daily death now has increased in the state of Arizona.
COVID-19 response in our country is still a disaster.
And I believe that's the governor of New Mexico, but you have the gist this morning, and that's where we are here. So I will consider us all informed this morning, and we'll just try to make it work. Across the country, for example, in Texas, the increase in infections came as the leaders of the most populous counties in Texas pleaded with Governor Greg Abbott to allow them to issue stay-at-home orders. We were having an experiment, a gamble, in the hopes that we can be the first community that suddenly flattens the curve without a stay-at-home order. That's Lena Hidalgo. She is the executive in Harris County, which includes Houston. And that's the hardest area of the state. Pleading for someone to simply look at what is going on there. California's caseload has exploded in recent days, leading the governors of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut to tell travelers from California to quarantine for 14 days, joining the ranks of travelers from other hard-hit states. And even states that had reported improvements are starting to see the number of new cases rise. The Midwest
which had been a national bright spot, is now seeing the beginnings of a resurgence in coronavirus cases. Even in places where case numbers have remained mostly flat, like Illinois and Minnesota, new hot spots have emerged. So that's the deal. And I throw that out without any other comment, except we are all responsible for our own health, and we got to be our own role models. And 4th of July is coming up, and we have an opportunity to either make it worse or not. So I'll throw all that out to you today. On the on a Wednesday, you know what? I got to make one quick point here, and then we're gonna do something else. No matter what, this coronavirus has a shelf life. It may be the vaccine, it may be the this or that, it may be our ability to just get a grip on it, but at some point this is going to be over. So I think that we need to do two things. We need to hurry up and wait. We need to wait because there's no artificial way of making this thing disappear. But we need to hurry up and think and act and plan. This will be over. And it's not over today. So what are we going to do today to get on with our lives? That would be something that we can all ponder. All right. I had dinner out last night for the first time. Let's see here. 3 months. I think the last restaurant meal I had in Chicago was the very last meal served at a place that is up near the radio station here. And that was it. We walked out of the restaurant. It was a Sunday night, my friend and I, and they were announcing that they were going to lock down. That was something like 3 months ago. So anyway, we're driving around last night and had run some errands, and I saw a place. It was on the corner. Outdoor seating. There wasn't anybody there. That seemed like a good idea. And we stopped. And I would tell you the following. It seemed okay. Everybody wore a mask. My friend and I were distanced from everyone, including the server. They had a QR code, a quick response code, BTAG, that you walked in with your phone, and you got the menu, and you sat down. I have to look back and say, and then at the end of it, again, we're in a patio that had nobody on it. Toward the end of our meal, a couple of other people showed up, and at that point, we kind of said, "Hey, you know, it's going to be a little hard to be, away from the other diners." So, anyway, that's how we handled it. I think if we can be prudent, then we will take little baby steps. What did we have? Argentine food and, you know, all right, I had a drink. Debbie Harry from Blondie on a birthday. One way or another, we're going to do it. It's 18 after the hour. It's the Pandemic Pirate morning wake-up sort of let's try to figure it out today and do it together show at 19 after the hour. Should we do some sports? Wait a minute. There wasn't any sports. Well, you know. Just hang on a second. Did I say there was sports or not? I don't know if we're, I don't forget sports or not. Let's see here. There we go.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport.
Even if there isn't any.
The thrill of victory.
No.
And the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
Right. In a bubble.
This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Well, not quite. It was supposed to be, there's no sports with Microphone Jones to join us a little later today or this week. So here's what happened yesterday in sports, and it's not so good. They canceled the minor league baseball season. I feel bad about that. I can only say that we're going to have to just skip this year. Minor league baseball is the best. It's cheap. It's family. It is great. I love it. We will not have it this year, but we will have it next year, I think. So that's going on. I think a slightly larger thing that popped up yesterday, and let's just go for it here. Former baseball players who have won the Most Valuable Player Award, MVP, throughout the years have called on the league to remove the name of Kennesaw Mountain Landis from the plaques. You younger, who the hell is Kennesaw Mountain Landis? Kennesaw Mountain Landis was the first commissioner of baseball. And in Chicago, they had the so-called Black Sox scandal where the Chicago White Sox threw the 1919 World Series to the Cincinnati Reds, I think, and so what happened? Well, they had this big thing. There's a movie called Eight Men Out, which is very good, and it's pretty accurate. Anyway, they hired this guy, whose name was Kennesaw Mountain Landis. He was a Southern jurist. With the middle name Mountain, you know you're in trouble. His name is displayed on both the American and National League MVP award plaques. He was known for cleaning up gambling in the sport. That is true, but MLB historian John Thorne said his legacy, quote, is always a complicated story that includes documented racism. I think that's true. You know what? These folks were all a product of their time, and segregation was part of that. The fact is, none of them made it any better. They just didn't. Barry Larkin, a Hall of Famer from Cincinnati, he says that it still bothers him that the other name on his MVP award is Kennesaw Mountain Landis. Why is it on there, he said. He was voted National League MVP in 1995. He says, I was always aware of his name and what that meant to showing the color line, I should say to slowing the color line in Major League Baseball of the racial injustice and inequality that black players had to go through. That is Larkin talking to the Associated Press. Philadelphia Phillies slugger Mike Schmidt agreed, and a lot of other people. So what about it? I think that it's a good moment for all of us to try to make lemonade out of lemons. And by that, I mean we've had some terrible violence. We've had some horrible displays of racial inequality and on and on and on. We also have an opportunity now to sort of look back and see what was going on all these years in America. Here we are. This is an opportunity to look at baseball. The America's pastime, which was segregated until like 1946, 48 something. All right. You can go to you can go to Cooperstown and you can say the MLB Hall of Fame. But you may not know that there were something called the Negro Leagues. And the Negro Leagues were where the black people had to play. And the saddest thing about the Negro Leagues, and again, we're not going to go too far inside baseball. Josh Gibson, Who's Josh Gibson? Josh Gibson, probably a better hitter than Babe Ruth, only he was in the Negro Leagues. We don't even have the statistics. They weren't they just weren't kept track of the way they did in Major League Baseball. So, yeah, how about a moment and just as we wait for the return of baseball as we know it and the 60 game season, how about a word about how baseball was? And while we're cleaning up the racial injustice of the world, let's try to figure out what happened in sports, which reinforced all of this segregation and the inequality. I'll end with someone's name, Leroy Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige, in fact, we're going to jump ahead. Next Tuesday, the 6th of July, would have been his, let's see, he was born in 1906. So you do the math on that, 114? But I'm telling you something, he could still do it. Satchel Paige broke into baseball in 1926 for the Chattanooga Black Lookouts, Negro Leagues. And then he made an appearance in 1948 for the Cleveland Indians in Major League Baseball. His last pitching appearance was in 1965 for the Kansas City Athletics. And let's see here, I think that makes him 59 when he's pitching a Major League game. His MLB statistics were 150. That's Negro League. MLB statistics, 28 and 31. This guy almost was even when he was in his 40s and 50s, an ERA of 3.29. That's it. Let's say something about everyone who was overlooked, and that's a good place to start. Go to the Negro Leagues and talk about Satchel Paige and stuff like that. And what do I think about Landis? Absolutely. Just he never hit any home runs. Barry Larkin, you're right. Just get the damn name off the trophy. Let's move on here. Yes, let's move on. In fact, you want to give me a call? You could. That's a way of getting into this record here.
Yeah.
Blondie on Pandemic Pirate Radio for the 1st of July. And Debbie Harry's birthday tonight. Also, Dan Aykroyd, I think. From you know, Dan Aykroyd. You want to do something for us? Let's start leaving voicemails on our toll-free number here. It's 844-220-3300. I thought that would be a way to just get someone's voice on the air here besides mine, and it could be yours. 844-220-3300. It's toll-free. Call 24/7 anytime you want, and I thought I would throw out a couple of ideas. Maybe we could be specific. I'd like to know how you have dealt with mask controversies. I'm reading an article here in some paper. It says everybody's going to wake up, leave the house, and get into a huge argument with a stranger about wearing masks. It's going to happen. It's going to be inevitable here. I want to know what you think about that. It'd be interesting to see what you observed, and I'll play it. I'll play it. You said what? This happened just yesterday? 844-220-3300. Tell me what happened. Maybe you're on the other side of this. Grocery store managers are training staffs how to handle screaming customers. Fist fight. I got to say one thing. You know, it wasn't like there were no crazy people in America before the COVID-19, but now they're out there and they're loud. Fist fights are breaking out at convenience stores, restaurants. Some of them even say they'd rather close than face the wrath of various Americans who believe that masks, which help prevent the spread of the coronavirus, impinge on their freedom. Oh, my goodness gracious. I started to write a song the other day. It's called "They Can't Make Me Wear This Goddamn Mask," and I'm gonna play it for you. So what about it? Have you seen anything going on? Did you think you might have to intervene? Did someone confront you? Did you confront them? Are they too close to you? What did you observe? I'm curious, and it'd be great if you told me that you had some solution that just reduced the level of anger. Something that just kind of, we're just going to chill out. I did this or I did that. I don't know. We have a ways to go on this, and I think that's the first thing. If we're going to be wearing masks, and we need to, then we're going to have to figure out how to deal with that. And I think it is... It certainly is a moment of irritation when you've done everything you can. You got the mask. You're sterile, and then some idiot comes in and is obviously not doing the same thing. So, yeah, I got to say, I'm not even sure. I'd like to point the finger. I'm not sure who the people are. It'd be great to say these young people, actually the people that seem to be adhering to the mask thing are young, in my observation. The folks that seem to be a little bit out of the loop on that are older. And what about it? I'm trying to marginalize the non-mask wearers, but so what about it? Let's see if we can get you to ring in here, because it's a talk show. 844-220-3300. That's toll free 24/7. Yeah. So tell me about that. What else I got? You have dinner recently? Did you have that experience? We've been outside. Have you left your house? How'd that go? Let me know. Oh, my goodness. I almost forgot to make this note. This is a true story. I know this sounds like one of those odd things that I may be, eating the fermented bird seed and hallucinating. We broadcast from a studio here on the northwest side of Chicago. I think you know that. In a three flat. And there is a studio's in the back here where the birds and I live. In front, in the front yard, is a large tree, big one, big tree, and it looked healthy. I like trees. So I'm sitting there the other day, and I literally watched, and this wasn't like, in the middle of the night and there was some thunderstorm. It was a sunny day. I literally watched this branch fall off the tree and hit the ground. In fact, I had to call the city and ask, I couldn't move it, and I had to ask the city if they'd come over and remove this enormous branch. And then I saw another branch fall about a week ago. All right. As of yesterday, the rest of the tree is appearing to be leaning on the building. And my neighbor, Beth, we'll say what a nice person she is, texted me to say, "Did you know there's a tree that fell on your building?" I said, yes. So what is all this about? I'll tell you what it's about. We were talking yesterday. I put on my old hippie hat, and I was talking about astrology and retrograde stuff, and that Saturn is retrograde, Jupiter is retrograde, and that this is just going to slow things down. They will be direct in September. I watched this, and I was trying to explain what Saturn retrograde means. It means that structures that are faulty are exposed as faulty. Remember I was talking about this the other day? Bridges collapse when, how about the system of justice and the structural flaws there are spotlighted? So I'm watching this tree, and I thought, this tree obviously is just structurally unsound as it, you know, deteriorates before my eyes. Yeah, that's what I think's going on in America right now. I think we're seeing faulty structures simply exposed and ready to be repaired. And I'm gonna call that tree guy as soon as I get off the air. The old stuff sound good again. That is an old old song, D-E-N-I-S. I don't remember who did that, but that's Blondie right now. It is the Pandemic Pirate Morning Show. Today is July 1 at 20... Boy, I can't even do math today. 39 after the hour. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, yesterday, as we were leaving the airwaves, I was talking about the vice presidential candidate who may be named soon. And I did, in fact, look at the Las Vegas odds on that. There's a thing, I think it's called bookies.com. No, do not. Please don't go there. But yeah, they do the odds. And Kamala Harris. I hope I get her name right one of these days. It's either Kamala or Kamala. I keep hearing everybody mispronounce it. Appears to be the front runner by everybody's estimation here. A lot of people saying she's it. Susan Rice, who I thought was also a candidate, came out and said that she appreciates being mentioned. So anyway, we'll keep monitoring all that. I think yesterday the deal was Senator Harris, I think, had a 50% chance of winning, according to the odds makers. So, all right. I don't know what to make of that. Do you pick somebody because they're favored by the odds makers in Las Vegas? I don't know. I probably would here. Sparks, hello.
Morning.
You could be on the ticket before things are over. I see you as kind of a dark horse candidate looking for a young woman from Chicago that doesn't have any baggage. You could get the call.
That's if I don't have any baggage.
So, you and I were tuning up a little bit on words. I think that the new words that come into usage, and a lot of times they're not even new, but we sort of hear them. I think they say a lot about what life is all about. And I think it was this week that, we talked about Karens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then we, what was the other thing we had? Easeability. Doom scrolling. Do you know what doom scrolling is, Sparks? Heard that one or no? That's a new one.
Yeah. Well, I remember your explanation yesterday.
It's just, it's people that just, they're not depressed enough, so they go to, they see how bad it is before they go to bed. That's called doom scrolling, so. But anyway, we got some new words here. I went out to see, we could just screw around here. Education First is where I am, so. Anyway, new words you shouldn't miss in 2020. Climate emergency, permaculture, freegan. Sparks, you up on freegan? That's free and vegan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
See, I mean, all right, how about now? Let's not stop here. This is a new word, according to whoever these people are. Hellacious. Hellacious is not a new word, Sparks. Have you heard that word? That's like old kind of. They said to Elvis, how was it?
Okay.
That's like an old Southernism, hellacious. So, see here. All right, I got a few here, and you and I will, and you have a list as well. Awesome sauce. You heard this?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Have you heard anybody over the age of 14 say awesome sauce?
No, not really. Some adults, but it sounds weird coming out of their mouth.
Wait a minute. Some adults say applesauce? No, I'm sorry. Awesome sauce?
Awesome sauce? Yeah, but I mean, look.
Yeah.
Kind of preppy girls.
Yeah,
still,
yeah.
You know?
So, yeah.
To
yeah.
be honest.
Manspreading is a noun. Manspreading. If you use public transportation, you've been exposed to or even engaged in manspreading. Male commuters whose legs commit the relatively annoying crime of seat trespassing when other offenders sit with their legs wide apart so they take up more than one seat. That's manspreading. Oh, like women don't do that at all?
Women definitely do that.
Yeah. All right. See, again, we're on number two, and we're already correcting the list here. Number three on this list is beer o'clock and wine o'clock to describe the appropriate time of day to have one. How about that? Have you heard about that? You're not a big drinker, I hope.
Yeah.
Maybe you started since you're working on the show, but I'm not sure what wine o'clock is. I'll tell you what beer o'clock is. It's about 10:05 here. Chicago. All right, now here's an old one, Sparks. Butt dial.
Oh, yeah.
We've been using that for a long time. No?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't, again, I don't want to, I don't actually carry my iPhone in my, my back pocket. So, To putt dial, it actually means to accidentally dial, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you don't have, your butt does not have to be involved. I'm trying to get through this very, very carefully here. I will not simulate butt dialing with a sound effect. How about rage quit? That one is new. Everybody who's ever played a video game or had to deal with uncooperative zippers knows the feeling. You get angry and abandon an activity. God damn it. Blah, blah, blah. That's called to rage quit. Have you heard that one? That's new to me, Sparks. On your radar or no?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely.
Yeah? So you've heard rage quit?
Yeah, especially in high school. You know, I was kind of a nerd, so that was very much in our vocabulary.
You saying rage quit? You really? God, now I feel old. I do. All right, I got one for you. Wait a minute. We can turn the generational. We can play spin the generations in reverse here. MacGyver to MacGyver something. Oh, I'm so hoping. You have heard it. Can you explain it?
Let's say there's something wrong with something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you do something weird.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to MacGyver it.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
Homemade remedy to something. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Sparks, you're there. MacGyver was a TV show in the 90s in which this guy, he'd like have a paper clip, you know. He'd open a high security door with an ice cream cone, or repair a TV with a watermelon, it says here. Anyway, that was the name of the show, MacGyver. But you're exactly right. It means to just, you know, sort of, you know, come up with something, kind of make do. All right, here. They have suggested uses. Yesterday, I MacGyvered like a boss and used duct tape to fix a chair. My date was really impressed. That would have been my last date, Sparks. I don't know what this. Just take a second and duct tape your chair there. All right. You know what a mic drop is?
Kind of.
All right. Mic drop, I think Obama's last moment, he did peace out and then the mic hit the floor. That's called a mic drop. It's a way to get off stage. And it just means that you have a, you know, it's like an exit line. So I don't know. I'm not even sure that I've heard that one. 13 before the hour. All right, this one now, you and I can, and I'll play the boy here and you play the girl. I have a feeling we might agree on this one. MX is a noun which is, we're thinking might replace Ms. and Mr. and Mrs. And there we are, time for a new word here. In other words, it's a non-gender, it's a gender-neutral title. And you pronounce it mix or mux. What about it? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
I mean, we went through Ms. And Ms. I thought, again, Ms. was, there was this big, big controversy about Ms. I thought, easy, why not? You know, and that way you don't have to, is it Ms. or Mrs.? Who cares? All right, MX. I have a feeling that you might hear that again, so... MX, and it's pronounced mix or mux. So I think we'll move on. Snackable is an adjective. You know snackable? Food can be snackable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's not... There's no breaking news there, is there?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, here's a good one. Hangry. Have you heard hangry?
Yeah.
You have? Yeah. What is hangry?
When you're hungry and angry, I mean, it's a combination of both words.
Sparks, why don't I even bother going on the internet? I should have called you at 6 a.m. We'd be done by now. You're right. You're completely right. You combine anger and hunger. Okay. Butthurt. Butthurt? You've heard butthurt?
My friends used to like to make fun of me so that I could get butthurt.
So butthurt is, it's to, you know, when you were offended, right? He was butthurt after they made fun of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know all the really nasty stuff is from high school students, am I right? it's like all this, you know, all right. Okay, a rando. A rando Do you know Rando's?
Maybe.
You want to guess?
I mean, random people, I guess.
Yes,
weird
ma'am.
People.
Rando's, that's it. Rando's can be creepy. The word describes an odd or suspicious person you don't know. A rando often engages in socially inappropriate behavior, so try to keep your distance. So,
yeah.
Like what I'm saying, you're on a bench, somebody, and they turn over and say, "Hey, you gonna finish those fries?" That's a rando. Don't go for it. That's all I have. What do you have on your list today?
I did look up a couple like slang words.
All right, go ahead. What do you got? Slang
for me,
words.
Bougie would be one of them.
Bougie?
Added to the dictionary. Yeah.
How's that spelled?
B-O-U-G-I-E.
Okay. B-O-U.
And this is according to, this website I was on.
No, that's all right.
It's a short for a bourgeois.
All right. Okay.
Which was used in the 1960s.
Like bourgeois, like middle class, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bougie. That's so bougie.
Okay.
Listen, I think at the end of this, I think we got to have a score. If I catch you saying bougie, you know, you either get 5 points or lose 5 points. All right, bougie's on my list. What else?
Stinger.
Stinger, S-T-I-N-G-E-R?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's like if it says a harsh remark.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. All right. Yeah. 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 Okay. But have you used that or heard it, or that was just in
something
the
something offensive?
Yeah, a stinger. Well, you know, that's like a yeah. Okay.
And then of course adorbs, which I have used, and it feels weird coming out of my mouth.
What is it?
Short for adorable?
Spell that adorbs. A D O
adorbs.
Adorbs.
A-D-O-R-B-S.
Now, have you been called adorbs?
Not adorbs. Adorable, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I think adorbs is mostly used to
it's all right.
Describing something, right?
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Should we skip that one? Let's move on. Your adorbs.
Okay.
What else?
I think that was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
Well, if we just we had to start with the doors.
I got late notice.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Listen, we're gonna keep working on the word thing. Let me just grab this real quick. I'm the thing is that it's like every year the dictionary people make a big deal out of new words that were added, but based on our research there. All right, a little quick before I let you run here. Here are the 40 words that were added in 2019. You with me?
Okay.
Let's see here. Buzzy. It's like it has a buzz. You know that one. I don't have a buzz. Stan. A super fan, they've been calling him, you've heard Stan?
Definitely.
All right, okay. On brand, anything that, it's because an adjective describes anything that is supports or correlates to your public image or our identity. On brand.
Oh, on brand.
I was with somebody, a young person, and she said, "These biscuits are on target." So I guess that was... How about this? If your muscles are bulging, you can safely say they're swole. S-W-
There are a lot of words that young people use,
yeah.
Honestly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Use or misuse? All right, swole. Screen time. Gee, I didn't even realize that had made the list here. Screen time. Wow. I was like 4 hours of screen time yesterday. I think it was mostly playing music off my phone here. Unplug. Well, now come on, Sparks. That we've been doing that for, years, unplugging, right? Cyber safety. Have you ever used that word?
Well, sure, on a
Have
educational
you?
Context.
Yeah, well. Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's the okay. All right, here we go. All right, EGOT. This acronym combines four awards, the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony. There you go.
EGOT.
Yeah, EGOT. EGOT. All right. All right, let me just see here. I'm going to do one more peek. Benedict. You know Benedict? There's a picture of Cheese Benedict.
What?
Ah, how about a cheesemonger? You know what a cheesemonger is?
Let's say I don't.
that assumes that I do. Next time your local cheese shop owner helps you out, be sure to recognize his or her official title. He's a cheesemonger. You know, when are you going to get some cheese? But I think that's, what was the one that we, the one, that thing that we talked about that was a dancer from the 40s that sounded like an insult? I think cheesemonger is the same idea.
Lucky shin cracker.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I think the, I think the, I'm looking at a screen here. I got distracted here, Sparks. I think cheesemonger sounds like an insult. And if anybody called me a cheesemonger, I would, you know, I would be angry. So, we're done with the show today. I think we were done about 15 minutes ago. You think or not? Think about the time I made the butt dial call. So, tomorrow, it's a new day. I have to find a button here, Sparks. This is that moment. You're going to come down here pretty soon, and we're going to have fun working together. And you can push. One that ends the show. Wow.
I see trees of green.
We're not going to be able to close the show. I can't find Louis Armstrong here. Let's see here. Boy, time's running out. This is exciting. Let's see here. That's not in here. Damn it. What to do about this? Everybody that listens to us have one of these meltdowns should know that it's Mercury is retrograde everywhere. It's not just you. I'll be damned. I can't find it here. So, tell you what, let's go out with a Blondie record, should we? It'd be nice if I could find a Blondie record now. Sparks, come on down here. Take a cab. Help. No, I'm fine. This Widecast was produced by Natasha Rodriguez in Chicago, and she's probably sorry she did. See you tomorrow.
cool friends, plus if I'm flashing a duke and you don't stop, shoot shot.